Today is Mother's Day, and we want to acknowledge all the women we're blessed to know. We rejoice over you, for your strength, your wisdom, your strong love, and your beautiful faith. Whether today is a celebration for you or a day of quiet reflection and healing, we're thinking of all of you. If you gave birth this year to your first child, our joy overflows and we celebrate with you. If you adopted a child this year or became a foster parent, we rejoice with you and we want to honor you in your commitment to changing the lives of children. If you continue to struggle with infertility, we are hoping with you and holding your hand in prayer. If you are exhausted and feeling underappreciated for all you do for a house full of kids, we applaud you. We love you, and we appreciate you more than you can ever imagine. And if you lost a child this year to death or miscarriage, we weep and mourn with you. And if your child is lost to addiction or to the world, we hurt with you. And we join you in putting our hope in the one who brings prodigals home. If you live with painful memories of your mom, we pray that you will find in a spiritual mother all that you never had from a birth mom. And if you're one of those amazing spiritual moms, we thank you for stepping up and being there when others couldn't. If you're experiencing an empty nest for the first time this year, we walk with you in this new season and are excited about the next chapter God has planned for you. If you're single, we celebrate your strength, beauty, and individuality, and join with you in praying for the desires of your heart. If you're a single mom and wonder if you have the physical energy and financial resources to raise and provide for your child or children, we want to help you, and we will. And if you're pregnant for the first time, we prayerfully anticipate with you the joyful birth of a healthy child. And to all the special women on this Mother's Day, rest and delight in knowing that we are thankful for you, and we celebrate each and every one of you.
Morning. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. All right. Good to be here with you today. I like the way that video covered so much ground. Mother's Day, although a joyous time, is not always an easy time. And I have to tell you that I think it's a difficult time and a challenging time for a lot of pastors. They might not say it to you. They might not go public like I'm going public with you, but I want to be real with you and say that it can be a very difficult time for pastors in a sense of how to address the congregation and the women and the mothers and those who are not mothers in the congregation. It's just challenging. So imagine a pastor getting up and he's going to plan on telling you mothers how to mother. Yeah, I don't think that's a good topic. Hopefully encouragement, yes. Want to see that happen? Kind of express that you're supported and that you're you're being prayed for, yes. And that we acknowledge that it's tough growing and raising a family. You do so much to make that happen. You're raising God knows how many children and then the biggest child who happens to go to work every day and come home every day. And I know that can be a challenge in itself. So, and I find that, it's easy, I think, for ministers to kind of take the easy way out. Find some unsuspecting female minister to come and bring a special Mother's Day gift and not address the subject themselves. And I certainly didn't want to do that today. And so I did want to bring a different kind of perspective to you. That God not only blesses mothers, but he blesses all women. And within each and every woman that God has installed and intricately placed motherhood, whether you ever marry or not, whether you marry and you decide to have children or not to have children, God has given you qualities that can only be found in you. Only in you. And that's the way God has designed it. And so that is a big part of our world, in our life. And so today my desire was, and as I kind of saw this video early on in the week and began to pray, and I just wanted to take the time out to acknowledge mothers, but to acknowledge all women. Because you see, I think when we do that, we, in doing so, we acknowledge the one who has made you, who has created you, who has wired you to make you exactly the way you are. Because you see, without you, what kind of world would we have? General Superintendent David Busick spoke about community, and he talked about the nature of God this past weekend at District Assembly. And he talked about how it was not good for man to be alone. You see, because on his own, he could not display the beauty of community that's found within the Godhead, within the Trinity. Because that is a complete environment, a perfect environment. And so when he made man, of course, he made us in his image, but it was incomplete, and it needed saving. It needed life. And so God, from man, brought woman. And when he said it, he said, "Whoa, man." Like, whoa, check out what God has done. Look what he's doing. Look who he's given me, you know? And so in that, we see that God has brought life about, and he began to then display what it meant to be in community and have life, because you see, there would be no life without the other. And so women have always played a big part from the beginning of time, from the beginning of time. And so this morning I want to talk about some qualities that come along with women. And not that these qualities can't be in men, but it's not about us today, men, is it? Right? It's about the women. And one of the things that have struck me this week is the wisdom that can come from moms and women in general, and how they have the ability to teach. Many, yes, in a classroom, but day in and day out, by the way you live your lives, you are teachers. You know, back in the day when it was said, and this was before my time, but I remember it being joked around when I was a kid, women should be barefoot and home, you know, raising a family, having children, right? And to one degree, it's a little bit demeaning, to be honest with you. And I'm not saying because I want to be politically correct, but it you know, when God made woman, he didn't take a bone from his back. He took a bone from his side, right? So that men and women could walk together, serve together, raise a family together. And so many of the times when it seems like nothing else is going on, there's always teaching going on at home, coming from a woman's perspective and her abilities. And so I want to take you to a few scriptures in Proverbs this morning. And the first one is in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9 from the English Standard Version. And as that comes up on the screen, I want to tell you that it's what it's addressing here is teaching a child to avoid the enticements of sin, whatever they might be. And this is what it says: "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." Graceful garland. Made me think about taking some garland and forming a little crown and placing it on your child's head. Something that they can know that mom is over them. Mom's got their best interest hanging a pendant around your neck. Something that's cherished. A necklace. Mom's teachings are kind of given a visual in that sense. Then Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, again from the English Standard Version. "My son, keep your father's commands, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck." The most sacred part of any child's life is their heart, is it not? I've probably said it to you before, I'll say it again. I really do believe that we need to go out of our way to protect the innocence of our children, because our culture has a way of looking to destroy it and mangle it and distort it as soon as it possibly can. Children are to be cherished and nurtured, and mothers go such a long way at doing that. I got the vision of a mama bear this week, you know, or a mother hen, as we use those phrases. Someone who is really out to protect their children and keep a close eye on them, to make sure that everything goes well in their lives. And quite often as men, when we get in a clueless zone, it's at that time when mom needs to come up along and make us aware. Do you know? Do you realize? Are you aware? Because men are never and will never be wired like a woman. I'm not saying that we can't be sensitive, but I'm saying that we don't have the workings that God has placed within every woman and given them the abilities to be moms, to be caregivers, to be caretakers. And I want to say to you that that's in you regardless of you're a mom, regardless if you've ever had children. Because even if you don't, and by the way, I desire to have the teens with us today simply because it's Mom's Day, and I think it's great for you to be here, to be sitting with your moms and enjoying this moment. But also, if you're a female teenager, I wanted you to be here because, you see, someday you'll grow up, and you'll become a woman, and you'll decide whether you want to marry or not, and when you marry, you'll decide whether you want to have children or not. Of course, I think God will have something to say about that too, if you listen in. But it's yet to be explored. It's yet to be realized. It's yet to be learned. But I want to tell you right now, as you are, you have the qualities. God gifted gifts that will make it possible for you to be what you need to be for your child's life, for your home, for your husband's, and for the rest of your family. And quite often it will be by the way you live your life and the things that you express and you teach to your children. Because women are constantly doing that. Look at with me at Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what made me think this week? That there are things that my mother has taught me, things that she expressed to me, that are like embedded in the hard drive of my heart and mind. Like when I'd go into the hall closet and I'd be looking even for something as simple as a box of crayons. Mom, do you know where my crayons are? And she would yell from the other room, look with your hands. You don't just stand there and look. Move things around. They're in there, you know? Because I'd stand there, I'd just stare. You know? Like I was waiting for her to come up from behind me and get them for me. She'd have to encourage me, listen. Look, they're in there. Move things around. And I'm sure that each of you can look back at a time and a moment when your mom was there teaching you, expressing to you, showing you a way to go. And if not with her words, certainly day in and day out by her conduct. Now, like most teens growing up, I can't say I was the cleanest kid in town. I don't know if I really appreciated mom being in our family. We have a joke. It's called the Petrelli gene. The Petrelli gene. Petrelli was the maiden name of my mom's family, and all the women in that family had the Petrelli gene. Not the guys, all the women, which meant they were clean. I mean, they kept their house immaculate, probably overdone. I mean, I had my one aunt that lived around the corner. Her thing was to stay up late. Everybody would go to bed, and she would just clean the house into the late hours. My mother, on the other hand, was one that she would start early in the morning. So I want to tell you, there wasn't a Friday morning that I didn't get up, and I was getting ready to go to work, that I woke up to the smell of Murphy's oil. That I'd come into the kitchen and all the chairs would be up off the floor and on the table except my chair, with the bowl set up and a spoon and whatever variation of cereals that I wanted. But I would sit there and I would be breathing in Murphy's oil while I ate, You know what agita is? I'd get that pretty much every Friday morning. Because I'd be inhaling the Murphy's oil while I was eating. I'd start getting just things going on in my stomach because I was breathing the odors in. Now, growing up, I didn't always appreciate the fact that I needed to clean up after myself. But now, as a grown man, I like a clean home. I like order. It helps this, you know? So what I didn't appreciate early on, I got to appreciate later on. But these are things that mom has passed on to me. And even though I'm a male, I think I carry the Petrelli gene with me. I know my daughter Melanie does. She's definitely got the clean gene in her. So, in everything, our moms and women on a whole pass on to us many traditions and memories, things to be cherished, things to be held on, things that you and I will never forget as long as we live. As long as we live, we'll carry them with us. Now, I know that quite often we, especially, and I think this is with men, we kind of get locked into thinking about women quite often as the weaker vessel. I mean, that's what we're told in 1 Timothy 2:14, and it's all because of what Eve did in the garden, you know, and wow, you talk about, you know, setting an image and how one person can make one mistake and how it can carry on for generation after generation after generation. But that, with that being said, I want to say this to you, that there is great strength as well as in women. It's not the same as in men, but there is strength there. And I want to look at with you this morning a scripture from 1 Peter 3:1. And I want to say to you, godly women have the power and strength. They quite often produce miracles. God uses them in miraculous ways in the lives of the men in their lives, whether they are sons or husbands. In times when men can lose their way and become confused, get misled, become weak, women have the ability, the God-gifted ability, to get the man on course, to get them online. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, wives, be subject to your husbands. And I want to say this to you. You know, we are all supposed to be subject to one another, but I want to tell you it takes strength, not weakness, strength to be subject to one another. It takes strength for a wife to be subject to her husband. And here's the good things that can come from it. So that even if some do not obey the word, that's talking about us men, when we get off track and we lose sight of what we should be doing as men, even when we don't obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. Hear the power? By just living out your life, women, you can help your man. You can help your son. You can help others by simply living a godly life, living in the way that God would have you to live. You can help others. You can help men. And so this morning, before you go, I want to take you to a portion of scripture in Genesis, and I want to give you some background. It's about Abraham and Sarah. And many of you know this story, but it's some background to kind of bring you to where we are today in the scriptures. God calls Abraham, along with Sarah and the family, out from a land that they lived in and brings them to a place. God makes them a promise. And as always, God, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. Now, it might not always be on our timetable, and I'm sure Abraham and Sarah would have liked to have had a child sooner than they did. And time kind of just ticked away. And at one point, Sarah became impatient and said to Abraham, I want you to take my handmaid, Hagar, and have children with her, because maybe this is the way God is going to bring it about. And so Abraham did so, and Abraham and Hagar were together, and Hagar gave birth to a boy by the name of Ishmael. But in time, as God always does, he keeps his promise. And Sarah became pregnant, and she had Isaac. And Isaac was nurtured and cared for. And a time when he was now going to grow up and stand on his own twos, they threw a party, and that's where we kind of enter in. Genesis 21, verses, starting with verse 8, going down to verse 14. And the child, meaning Isaac, grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on that day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. It was mocking. And so she said to Abraham, cast out this slave woman and her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac. And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son, Ishmael. But God said to Abraham, now listen to what God does here. God said to Abraham, do not be displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand the anguish of what's going on in Abraham, because he has a son. And his wife is basically saying, you need to put them out. This is not going to work. In fact, I see trouble. She could look forward and understand and see something that probably was not on Abraham's radar, that Abraham could not comprehend at that moment. But Sarah could, because moms are protective. And moms can see out at a good distance. And sometimes, in some ways, can see out further than their spouses. And so she informs Abraham, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. She speaks to a situation. And probably like most men, and I can relate to this very much, he becomes troubled because it takes him out of his comfort zone. He's got to send them away. And so I can see Abraham struggling with that. And because Abraham was a man of prayer, and because Abraham went before God, and we see this throughout his life, and we will see it later too in his life when God tells him, I want you to sacrifice this very boy of yours, Isaac. And so he goes before God, and what God says to him is in support of what Sarah pointed out to him. You need to do this. But by the way, I have it all covered. I have Isaac covered, I have Ishmael covered, I have Hagar covered. I have it all covered, but you need to do this. See, because at that moment, God was speaking through Sarah, instructing Abraham through Sarah, and then God confirmed it. And I want to say to you, quite often, every man, and they say behind every good man is a great woman. Well, it's very true. Very true. But at some point, men, we need that motherly instinct in the women that we are a part of and who are a part of our lives. We need their wisdom. We need the insight that God has put in their fibers of their life and their heart so that we can do the right thing. You see, because what Abraham did was not just beneficial to Isaac and their home life, and raising Isaac, and him being the sole heir of what God had in mind, but it would actually also turn out better for Hagar and Ishmael. Oh, no, not at first, because as they have to wander in the desert, but later on, it turns out better for them, having their own identity, and God blessing them, because they were a part of Abraham, that Ishmael came from him, forming a nation. But it would not only be better for Isaac and Sarah and Abraham and Ishmael and Hagar, But it would be better for us because through that line, God would bring us a Savior. God would bring us a chosen one. And he had to preserve that line, and there should be no interference and no havoc wreaked in that bloodline because he wanted to bring the perfect Son of God. And so there need to be great care and perseverance and love and attention given to what was going on there. So ultimately, what I'm trying to say to you is everything worked out for everyone in every way. And it began with Sarah confronting Abraham. Some might think in mom getting in dad's face. And when I say it that way, I don't want you to take it as a disrespect. You see, because I believe that women not only teach in their quietness of their lives, but they can speak to issues as well. And it could be done in such a way that God calls us to submit to him, right? And to obey him. And with him, it's a perfect submission and a perfect obedience. It's the ultimate. But God also calls us to submit to one another. And that should be unhindered, perfect submission. But it doesn't mean it's always perfect obedience. So as your pastor, I could ask you to do something. And according to Scripture, you would be required to kind of submit to it. But, at least to listen to it, but doesn't mean that you have to follow through on it if it goes against what the Scriptures have to say. Perfect submission doesn't always spell out perfect obedience. And I want to say to you that quite often, women are put in a position where they're asked to go along with something, but can speak to the issues in their lives and in their homes and within their families if they know it not to be truth, if they know it not to be good, if they know it is contradicting what God says in the Scriptures. And quite often, the home needs that. Men need that. We need the presence of godly women in our lives. And so, I know I'm saying a lot today, but I want to wrap this up with you. And I want to give you something to take today with you. And that is, that women, whether you are mothers or not, whether you have children or you don't, whether you will, young ladies, if you ever get married, whether you conceive or not, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. God desires to use you, and God will use you in ways that are needed. And if you would happen to be a woman who never gets married and never has children, does not mean that God can't use the motherhood qualities that are inbred in your DNA, that have been installed from the beginning of time. Because you see, if you didn't have children to bless and to give and to nurture to, you may have a brother, your dad, an uncle, a neighbor, maybe even a complete stranger that needs something that you have, a word of kindness, of care, that can only come from a woman like you. You see, because in God's eyes, you're something special. God designed you. God made you. So I want to say this to you. Ladies, stop beating up on yourselves. And you know what I mean by that, because you all do it. I haven't met a woman that in some way doesn't knock themselves or criticize themselves or have a low self-esteem to one measure or another. And I want to say to you, God doesn't make mistakes. And when he made you, he made no mistake. He didn't make any mistakes. God doesn't make junk. And whatever he makes is always good. And when he made you very good. Made you very good. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't room for improvement. But don't beat yourselves up. You see, because God has made you for a purpose and a plan. And I want to tell you, godly women are in high demand. Whether this world gets it or not, whether this world understands it or not, whether the men in your life get it or understand it right now, your life is in high demand. And God is the one who can work these things out. I want to give you a little Nazarene history. You know, I've known this, but it was kind of re-delivered as we talked about diversity and community this weekend in New Jersey. But back in 1900s, 1901 to be exact, when the Church of the Nazarene was first formed, it was formed by three groups. But at that time, there were a tremendous amount of holiness groups. I mean, holiness movement was a huge thing across this whole country. But there were only three groups that would come together and agree upon certain issues and points to form the denomination of the Church of the Nazarene. And one of those points were about women. And only three holiness groups could agree to this, that women had a call and a place in the church, that women should be able to teach and preach and be ordained and be used of God. Because they had a sense that God was in it. And I want to say to you, there might be some women, young or old, in this congregation. By the way, and when I say old, there's a woman in Brazil who's 90 years old who just got ordained. 90 years old. It's like she's starting now. And I'm thinking, so I got ordained when I was in my 50s. Big deal. 90 years old. She doesn't move around like she used to, but they say her mind is as sharp. It's so sharp. I want to say that we might have some women in this congregation that God is calling to ministry, to full-time ministry maybe, to maybe becoming ordained or just being used in some way that you are not thinking of right now, that you cannot imagine, that you cannot envision. You are a part of a denomination who believes in you. And I want to say to you, I believe in you. I believe in how God has made you and the place that you have in this congregation and most of all in your world, whether it's in your world at home or your world at work or wherever you go. So, before we go, I want to say to you, ladies, you rock. Men, do you agree? Yeah. I'm going to give you an opportunity to sound off. So on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, men, and we're going to say, ladies, you rock. Can you do it? Don't shake your head, Joe. Bro, I'm your pastor, and I'm asking you to do this. All right? And I'm not breaking the truth of the scripture, so I want you. I know you're loud, and I know I can hear you, okay? All right, so I want to hear you. On the count of three, all right? Ladies, you rock. One, two, three. Ladies, you rock. Joe, you're lip synced, okay? All right, I don't want no lip syncing. All right, one more time, guys. On three. One, two, three. Ladies, you rock. Okay, all right. How can you bless the women in your life, regardless of who they are? How can you honor them? Your daughters. Your daughters. Someday are going to be full-grown women. Because, you see, we need to honor them. Because when you do, you honor the one who made them, who created them. And when we dishonor anyone, we insult our maker. All right? So, men, the greatest gift that you can give your wives is your time and attention. And even though she has more words than you can ever imagine, and she'll talk you under the table most times, address her. Have a conversation with her. Why, I had such a great conversation with my wife yesterday on the way coming back from New Jersey. I went right past my exit. And then I was kicking myself, not for the conversation, not for the dialogue, because I enjoyed that. I wasn't going to give that up. But I'm like, why wasn't I paying attention at least while I was talking? Time. Attention. Cherish them. because what you do is you're esteeming them. And I think that the Bible speaks to that, right? We need to esteem one another higher than ourselves. Well, today is the day we need to consider esteeming our wives, our sisters, our daughters, our moms higher than ourselves. Men, I want to encourage you. Go the extra mile this week, because Mother's Day is today. But how about gifting them all week long? So I know you're tired when you get home from work. I know you've been working all day. By the way, so have they. Maybe they're not doing what you're doing, but they're working. They're always working. Like your mind, their minds are always going, all right? So I want to ask, I want to encourage you this week, go the extra mile. Come home and do something you know they would normally do, and do it without even asking them, can I do something for you? Blow their minds, all right? Blow them away. Just do it. Just do it. And women, before we go, I want to encourage you. And I said earlier, godly women are in great demand. I want to encourage you to seek the one who made you. He loves you. He just loves you, and he cares about you. He is in full support of you. Teens this week, love your moms. Do something that says and spells out love to them. This is a great opportunity. It's a great time. Let's pray together. Our Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for placing the women that you have in our lives, oh God. Lord, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. We thank you for the inner qualities of each woman in this congregation this morning. Lord, we thank you for how you use women in our lives. Thank you for the tender nurturing and care and love that they provide. Lord, today, in celebrating them, we celebrate you. Lord, thank you for all things in Christ's name. And the people of God all said together, amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. I will seek you in the morning, your ways, and step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. Yes, I will follow you all of my days. Yes, I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
May the Lord bless you and give you the courage to do what our pastor said, men. And ladies, receive it with love. Have a great day.